still in the bathroom who wanted to be here. We almost ran out of communion today. That's a really good problem to have. I think this means we have more people at Mass than we expected. But I was a little scared. There is approximately one half of one host in the tabernacle right now, so pretty close. So I think that some people who come to daily Mass weren't there on Sunday, so they didn't get the announcement. But we're just going to start this weekly short teaching after Friday evening Mass. I don't know if it's the best time. I'm willing to change it and adjust to find better times. But we just wanted to start something because I don't want, you know, if you wait too long and wait, what's another 6 months, what's another year, things like that. So I don't want to do that. So we're going to start with this little teaching on Mass. So we'll start with scripture reading and prayer. And we've got 15 minutes, okay? So it'll be dinner time soon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus heard that they had cast out the man who had received his sight, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son Jesus as our Savior, the one who reveals your merciful face and love for us and for the world. We ask you to send down your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, to open our eyes, first to our blindness and then to your glory. Help us to love you more and become better and humbler servants of yours. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm still getting used to the microphone in here. Is it better with or without the microphone on? This is without. You prefer the microphone? Okay, we prefer the microphone. Good.
Okay.
So here's what I want for you. Mass is, anything liturgical is a language being spoken, and I want you to understand it better, to speak it more fluently. It's sort of like if you go to a lecture in Mandarin, and everybody else speaks Mandarin, and they're all nodding along and laughing at apparent jokes and very interested, and you just can't keep your eyes open. It's because you don't understand the language. So it can be about the most interesting thing in the world, but because you don't understand the words that are spoken to you, it's meaningless, and it's easy to get bored. I think Mass can be like that a little bit. It is a language. It certainly involves words, but there's much more to it. And to learn more of the words, more of the language, means that we can engage with it more. So the language that we're talking about certainly is made up of words, but it also includes silence as part of the language. It includes postures and gestures and actions and music and all those other things that make up liturgy. And I think it's actually, it can be a disadvantage for us actually that Mass is in English, because if it was in a strange language, we would understand. I don't understand, and we'd be working to figure it out. But because it's in English, it can sometimes give us a false sense of security. Like, I speak English, so of course I know what we're talking about. And so we lose this curiosity, or we lack this sort of, like, the little drive to try and figure out what is going on. So again, Mass is a language spoken, and I want you to learn the language more. I want to teach you what I have learned about this language so that you can engage with it better. Here's another thing that Mass is. Mass is like an underground current. And you can think of two kinds of currents. Maybe you think of an electrical current or like a data cable. If you plug in a lamp and there's light shining through it, or you plug in, I don't know, phones don't go into walls anymore, but if you plug in a phone to a wall, you can hold the cable in your hand and there's just nothing interesting about it. It's just a cable. Even though there's power coursing through that is turning on the light, or in the case of like a data cable, even like an Ethernet cable for the internet, there's like lots of information pouring through this, but you can just hold it in your hand and it's like nothing. It doesn't vibrate, it doesn't sound like anything, it doesn't light up, it's underground and hidden. Well, there's also like an underground spring sort of current that's very similar. Something's rushing by, and it's just out of reach. It's just below the surface. If you put your ear to the ground, maybe you can hear water trickling or even gushing through the ground, but you can't get to it. And when you strike it just right, the spring bursts out of the ground and there's water flowing where there wasn't. Mass is a little bit like this kind of underground current, or like this hidden current, whether you're talking about electricity or water. What we're trying to do is to tap into the spring. We're trying to plug in to what is hidden and not easy to access. So in these lessons, in these short teachings, not only do I want you to learn more of the language that's spoken, but I want you to get better, as I'm trying to get better, at tapping into this underground, this hidden richness that's there. Because the truth is, the Lord of all creation, the God who created the universe, comes in close contact with us at Mass, but there's nothing to see. There's no bright lights, there's no smoke, there's no fireworks, there's no earthquakes or anything like that, so it's easy to miss. But if we can tap into it a little bit, what we find is the source of all life and existence, the God who made us. The last thing, of course, at Mass is about a person to encounter. And, you know, you encounter people in different circumstances. When you go to Meijer and check out, maybe you prefer the self-checkout because then you don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to encounter anybody on the way out, and they don't have to judge your snack choices, you know? But when even if you get stuck with a person, a cashier, it's usually a pretty impersonal sort of interaction. It's very transactional. Here's the groceries, here's the money, give me the groceries and the receipt, and I'm out of here. And you don't really encounter a person. It's functional. That's contrasted with like going on a date with somebody, maybe even a blind date. Let's make it a blind date, okay? So you know there's somebody out there, and you're set up and you're gonna go on a date with this person, but you don't actually know what they look like. And so you're sitting at the coffee shop and excited and eager and scared and jittery, and your eyes are open and you're looking for this person. And when they sit down, you're looking to encounter them. This isn't like a functional transaction. You're like wide awake to the person in front of you. So at Mass, there is a person to encounter, and it's easy, so easy for me, maybe even easiest for priests, I don't know. But it's easy for all of us to become transactional or functionary, for our hearts to close and forget the encounter with the person that's in front of us. What I want to do is to walk through the different like stages of Mass, the different periods, the different sections of Mass, and to talk about them in some detail that will help you with all these three things. But speaking the language, by tapping into the current that vibrates beneath the surface and encountering the person. You know that you can participate at Mass in greater and lesser degrees. Okay, I don't think anybody here thinks this, but there have been people who have thought that the most you can participate at Mass is like having some sort of liturgical ministry. A lector participates more at Mass than somebody sitting in a pew. That is not true, because the lector can be totally disconnected and just reading the words while the person in the pew is 100% there. And really, really deeply participating in what's happening. But you know that there are different degrees of participation. You can participate in a greater or lesser way. You've probably experienced this for yourself. Sometimes where Mass is alive, and your heart is alive, and other times where you're sleepy, or things are boring, or there's a distraction, or whatever. Mass is like, it's not like flipping a switch. It's not just like sending an email. It's not just an on or off sort of thing. It's a gradient. It's more like climbing a mountain, and that's actually why we have all these steps up here. Because we're climbing the mountain of the Lord, really. It's not accidental. They're not steps because they're a stage or because you need to see better. They're symbolic steps. We come to the base of the mountain and we say, okay, sound system's off. We say, okay, it's time for Mass. We're climbing the mountain of the Lord. When you climb a mountain, it takes some work and you get sweaty along the way. And there are times when you want to give up and throw in the towel. But at the end, what you get is this incredible view, an exaltation at the top, where you have done it, the hard work is done, there's a cool breeze and the sun is shining and you see the world like you haven't before. This exaltation from the top of the mountain because you've endured the sweaty climb. This is a helpful analogy for us because you can grow in strength, you can grow in endurance, and if you can grow in those things, then you can climb higher up on the mountain than you used to be able to. You can climb a different mountain, a more dangerous climb. You can have a greater view. If you're a beginner, you're going to climb little hills and very short mountains because you don't have the strength. But as you progress and as you train and as you do it more often, your strength grows and you can get higher up. And taller mountains are higher on the same mountain. It's the same thing with Mass. Like we can practice things that can improve our ability to climb this mountain well. We can reach new heights of this mountain every day. It is not easy, and if you ever tried this, you know that sometimes Mass is like a battle of endurance. It can be kind of sweaty, at least interiorly. You can also, is the sound back on? Okay, thank you. You can also, if you're mountain climbing, maybe this happened to you when you were like 15, and your family said, let's go on a hiking trip. And you said, I don't want to, there are bugs, and it's hot. And your mom and dad are just so excited about this, and you're just not seeing it. So you climb and climb, and you get to the end, and you're like, I was right. I hated every minute of it, and there was nothing to see. And your parents are like, you never raised your eyes. You looked at your feet the whole time. We got to the top of the mountain, and you were on your phone. Of course you hated it. Like, you missed it completely. You let it be a forced march, and you hated it all. So we can do this at Mass also. We can do all the steps climbing the mountain, and we can kind of trudge it out and never see what is waiting for us. Probably happens to me more times than not. This is actually why some people have given me this feedback. It's why I have been told I look angry at Mass sometimes, not because I hate the climb, but because I want to climb like I have not before. Like, I want to set a new record. I want to set a PR. I want to go higher than I have before and reach new heights and see from a new perspective. So it's difficult. This is what I care most about, but what it takes is shutting out all of those things that are less important and that clamor for your attention. It's like at the bottom of the mountain, shedding gear, where you say, okay, I'm going to leave that behind, and I'm not going to need this chair, and I'm going to only bring a granola bar or whatever. You know, I'm not really a big hiker. But anyway, you shed the gear at the bottom to lighten the load so that you can climb higher. So we want to do this at Mass also. But that's why I look angry, because I'm trying really hard not to pick those things back up for them to weigh me down. I'm trying to stay free and unencumbered and focused on the most important thing. We want to set a record today. As we go through each of these sections, we're going to just do four things, okay? And we're not actually going to start Mass today. We're out of time. But for each section of Mass, we're going to try and go over these four things. Okay, the first thing is the symbols, to try and understand the language. When the priest walks in, what are the symbols that are played? There's a vestment, there's the order of the procession, there's walking, there's standing, there's music, there's orientation, there's silence, or there's music, all those sorts of things. We want to understand the language that's spoken so that we can read them, speak the language better. The second thing is, besides looking at the symbols, we're going to talk about the purpose of each of these signs. You can be very well intentioned, but if you don't understand the purpose of something being done, you cannot participate. So this is like if you have little children, when you're folding laundry, and the toddler comes over and says, I want to help. I want to participate in this. And they reach in and take some clothes and they fling it across the room. Because that's what we're doing. We're reaching in the basket, we're throwing it out. You know, like, I'm helping you, Mom. You don't understand what's going on here. you're well-intentioned, but you want to understand the purpose of what we're doing here. It isn't just to get the laundry out of the basket. There's more to it than that. So we want to understand the purpose of each of these sections. See, what's supposed to happen? What are we trying to do so that we can join ourselves to it and participate in it? The third thing is I'm just going to give you some images to bring to your memory, to bring to your imagination. What we're dealing with is invisible realities. So even though you can see a priest, you're not here to encounter a priest. What you want to see is the Lord, Jesus, who is here. So we have to look into and past the symbols to the invisible realities, but it takes the work of our imaginations. It's a similar thing to when you write a letter to someone who's far away. You have to call them to mind. You have to imagine, what would it be like to speak to this person? What would it be like if they were standing here in front of me? How would I feel? What would I say to them? That exercise in imagination is what allows us to write the letter and send it and have a real personal connection, even with that remoteness. So there's images that we use, things that we can imagine at Mass to help us to participate in. And the last thing is I'll give you either a question for reflection or a tip to sort of help your participation, things that I've learned along the way. So we're out of time for today. We're going to start Mass next week, again Friday. If you have feedback on format or questions or helpful things for me or changing the time or anything like that, I'm all ears for feedback, and I'll be in the lobby to talk with you afterward in the narthex. But let's pray before we end. Let's stand. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you for this great gift of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Lord, we receive truly the body and blood of your Son, and we offer you the one pleasing sacrifice of his body and blood. I ask you to bless us and our entire parish of St. Luke. Make us holy, to love you more, and to give up our lives to you. I ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.